G'day, Joey.
G'day, Pat. How are you, buddy?
Very well, mate. Here on top of the hill watching the leaves turn as I muse on automotive world. How are you going?
Yeah, no, just back from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So been up in Sydney, and then also kind of up in Melbourne most of this week. So yeah, just lots of life on highways and trains and bus. I actually took a bus,
didn't ask for your itinerary, mate.
Just saying, yeah, I'm like a John Candy movie, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yeah. Just not as funny, but arguably fatter.
We need that Twitter on you to show where Joey's at all times. But, or you can just tune into the VOU podcast and backtrack it.
Yeah, I could have like one of those flight trackers like Taylor Swift does and just get abused online for the amount of climate miles I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you get abused enough on the roads I've seen you drive.
Yeah, no, I saw that. I saw that this morning. Some guy just getting lit into someone proper out of the car, yelling at the guy at a set of lights.
Oh, really?
Oof, yeah, I haven't. I've never done that.
The pressure cooker, hey. I reckon it's not just being felt down here, but I think that's a good synopsis of where people are at. If we're seeing more and more of blow ups on the road, it's often saying something more than just the road.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, to get into it,
you've got a hot take to bring us in. Hey,
I do have a hot take. It's more of a hot, it's a hot topic, I reckon. It's like, and this is aimed at you, Joe. We don't really let enough people know on this podcast, but Joey runs a brand agency. He's trained most of the brand strategists in Melbourne, but it's around brand in an automated world where answer is the new search. And the reason why that comes to mind is like, how do you communicate, like what the challenges that are there, like communicating brand, crafting brand, and then taking that out into market. There's a lot in there, like search, how it appears, and then also IP, how you protect it, but also distinguish yourself amongst the rest, and then how do you allow yourself to be found as the answer. That's sort of where we're heading, and I think it's still unclear, but it's fascinating. And there's also a trend in market where some people have, very clear brand, like, taglines, that they're the famous ones that do really well, but then there's also a few that are coming through that have no clear tagline, but more of an aesthetic and more of a feel, which is an interesting point. And that seems to be on the rise and more maybe suited, but I'm interested to get your opinion, like more suited to being able to appear to lots of different audience segments in their own way. So it's like omni-channel, but then also very personal. You feel like it's X and another person feels like it's Y, but they're both true.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a lot in that. It is a very, very good question. And there's probably a few component parts that start to fall out of it. So first off, like, are we moving from a world where people seek product and kind of, are happy when they find it to one where there is like a definitive answer, like as a trajectory? Absolutely we are. And then the second part of that then becomes, what's the role of brand in all of that, right? And really what you've seen over the last really kind of 35 years is kind of, and then this is directly to do with consolidation inside industry, is that brands have become much more about kind of simple kind of codes, so that kind of, obviously there's a visual aesthetic that can go across more things. And that's really because sectors are becoming more and more consolidated. The brands themselves are also becoming more and more consolidated. But underneath all of that, there's another piece to this, which is what you're touching on there, which is that there's these kind of what I would call like kind of like movement-based brands, or like little pop-up kind of brands that kind of come across, and they're much more kind of visual aesthetic of the now, this and that. And they're doing it really quite well because they're actually using the other kind of thing that's changed a lot is the medium that you use to connect. So they're using, socials, whether that's on TikTok, Reels, Insta, Facebook, whatever, Twitter, if they're crazy and redneck, whatever they're doing to connect, is that they're able to basically just close the purchase right then and there. So they're like, their brand building is actually through showing up versus kind of more legacy brands or kind of larger brands. It's all about consolidation of multiple brands into kind of one singular thing across it. So there's that's all kind of where we find ourselves. But the big question you're actually asking in all of that is that where is this actually then going, right? When we kind of move from a world of Google search to Google Answer, right? That's the space that we're starting to sit in. And I don't think it'll be called Google Answer, but I'm just saying that that's actually where we're sitting, right? Is that rather than, you know, being fed a bunch of stuff that came out of like content farms and having to sift through Google search, it's going to be, there's going to be an answer, right? Which will be about the prompt that you asked, which is individual and contextual to you.
Exactly. Which is, so it just feels like it is changing in the way that that lands. Because at the moment it's very much where user feels like they have choice and have to make a choice, whether that's actually true or not is up for debate when we dig under it. But there you do have a competition at the moment. It is bidding if in terms of seeing an answer for a product, unless you already know that product or brand, then you have loyalty to it. So now you're seeing lots of different ways of skewing that, but I still feel like moving from search to answer is going to be a real challenge for brands. But in sort of going back to where you were talking about how you have to exist a lot of the consolidation piece, I feel like just on a cycle base, and it'd be good to get your perspective on this, we're due for new beginnings or new brands to come, like small ones. And I don't know, from my lookout, there's big appetite, hence e-commerce and that, a big appetite to support small and to find small, because you feel like from a customer standpoint, they feel like they've found something rare. It's like finding rare gems in and amongst the trash. Essentially, like that's a crass way of putting it, but I feel like that's what people love. That's why Melbourne cafes have traditionally done well. It's the ones that are off the beaten track where someone can say, oh, I went there before it became cool, blah, blah, blah. And that's how sort of the Melbourne caf cycle works, or metro caf cycles work around urban environments. But I feel like that's what's happening. And it hasn't happened. It's been consolidation. But now we have to come through a cycle, and how does answer play into that on a brand? Like, that's going to be the challenge, or is it just mass consolidation? But the appetite's there, and it has to be catered for on the premise that customer always gets served. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, this is probably the heart of kind of, I guess, like one of the big existential crises in branding at the moment, right? Is that, does brand even matter in a world like this where you're actually coming through? And, you know, my argument back to that is that, of course, it does, because humans we're story machines. We love stories, which is actually what you're touching into, is that the story of like a cafe is actually that you discovered it, you found it, that taps into a sense of meaning. It's not just about status. It's actually about that to be human is to want to discover what's around the corner, right? So it's that you found that and, oh, great, it was an amazing experience. You tell others to the point that it's no longer a discovery because it's found. So like just bringing that into what you're talking about there around kind of like the cycle of these smaller brands, you definitely see that, but they're cycling quicker, right? So they get discovered, and then there's kind of another way to do it. And the reason why is because the tools of doing that are readily available, right? So to be able to build a brand, like it's, you know, you can, I'm not suggesting you should, but you can do a little bit of that through like plugging in a little bit of, you know, your own idea. You can kind of create a very simple domain. You can kind of work with like a Canva to kind of build out some of the assets that go with it. You can create your own content using your phone, you know, and like Liquid Death, like the guys that you spoke to in your day job, like they pushed that out to the world as an idea before it was even a product, right? Which again, I think is really interesting how the world has changed so quickly, right? So that kind of they didn't have a product, they just created an idea and threw it out in the world. People liked it, so then they made the product. So all of these things are very commoditized. Like making the product actually isn't the hard part in that model. The hard part's actually having the idea and having a strong enough idea to bring that through.
The but traction world, and execution.
Yeah. But in a world where kind of, you know, because you can easily foresee that, like, so what is ChatGPT doing, right? It's actually, or these types of algorithmic large language models, they're indexing the world's information that is online, right? So is the world's information online accurate is one of the questions that many people don't actually ask, which is that broadly, no, right? Broadly, it isn't. Like Wikipedia is someone's opinion that has been shaped and been validated over time. So like it's, yes, it's broadly true, but it's not absolutely true. But what I think about a lot with those types of things is that there could be, it's just going to create a lot of homogenous content, similar answers, but the individual themselves, how they ask the question is going to become the unique part, right? Whereas search at the moment is like a skill, and how long you look and find is where you find uniqueness. Whereas I think uniqueness is going to be given back in this scenario to the individual, and how you ask the prompt to get something out of the system is what's going to be kind of interesting. But then you can easily foresee a world where it becomes more and more diverse, because some of it is like a conglomerated soup. I mean, the internet and the kind of walls that are everywhere, like it all bloody well looks the same as it stands, but kind of people's need to see difference is becoming, you know, probably where this is all starting to go, or you could see it going for sure.
Well, it feels like it's heading, I don't know, that's my perspective, it feels like it is heading there, and that appetite to see difference is there, and that like real craving to see difference is strong. And it's bizarre because it's in the headwind of complete homogeneity, and it's in like the headwind of where productivity has to come through the absolute nose, ears and ass. And so that's really like pushing everyone to become quite homogenous, because it's the same thing done, and you're so right around brands being able to replicate brands. So like, where does difference land? And it's more and more, that's like probably the rise of why the influencer does so well, because it's a different, and it's a personality that people can connect with, even though arguably it's pretty homogenous out there. Yeah. But the facial features and the different distinguishing visual features and sound is different, and you can't sort of do that. But the point that you make around how content is going to become quite homogenous because of automation, it just still screams to me that the reverse trend is going to come in screaming hot, and that is being able to be different and produce different things is really at least the true asset of the disruptor in whatever industry or whatever vertical they're trying to exist in. And what is that going to look like? I just think it's a real challenge right now. How do you maintain difference when everyone can copy you at go to Canva, get a, like, you know, like see a good idea and try and copy that. And it's often the hard route.
And they do.
Exactly. So it's like, how do you be different, and how do you like stake in the ground, and then how do you run that? Like Liquid Death's a really interesting one, because they're so distinctly different. But it's funny because they went against the grain in a health industry. So their whole premise is that health is boring and everyone's been advertising it the wrong way. So their whole thing was go against the grain, but blend the two. So make it feel like it's bad to be good. Essentially, that's what they're doing. And they take that to a huge market that was already getting bigger and bigger. And then they've disrupted a health industry by being the bad boys. It's hilarious. That was like in front of everyone's faces, but it took sort of a testing of that idea and then like continuous execution of that. And now they've been.
But they started in culture, not in product, right? So that's the interesting part about
that. But
that's
the trend that's going on. You look anywhere, like that's, it's like, I think that's where brands are moving, is more like, how do you entertain and how do you use that space to say something? Like, how do you be character in this absolute soapbox that we all live through, whether we know it or not, through social, through chatting to friends? Like everyone has a touch point of some form of media at some point, whether you're watching a sport, whether you're watching a show, whether you're chatting to someone who's read a book, like you've listened to a podcast or you've done something that has a touch point, and then you bring that conversation. And then what is brand's character in that space is interesting, because that's what Liquid Death did really well, is like, what is character? And they have lots of different character personas where they're like, we're the annoying freaking young kid who's being a prick to X, or we're trying to kill health this way, but they're doing the reverse. It's funny, like using it as a soap is interesting, in having, because you've always said that having a voice is your most valuable thing. Mm-hmm. And voice is hard to replicate if you're really strong on that voice, because then you just, everyone else comes behind that just sounds like your cheerleaders.
Correct. And that's the, like, but it doesn't scale. So this is the age old dilemma, right? So like, it'll scale to a point, but until it doesn't. So the kind of the upside of kind of like winner takes all, and this is, you know, ultimately, if you come back to the technology thesis of kind of like Silicon Valley in particular, is that it's truly winner take all, right? So it's that you take everything in that session, because that's about that you are, in essence, you're the aggregator of where all these things actually come. And that's where our economy has really now pivoted, is that to be the aggregator in the middle of these conversations is more economically advantageous to be, rather than being the end provider or the person actually creating the content. And that's and you see that in most, you're the platform in between these two things is where all the money is. So that then what you're doing is like, it's like arbitrage, right? It's that they're the central banks of our world in this instance. And then as the creator, I think you have to think long and hard about kind of where are you going to monetize that? Some are trying to jump straight across, right? So some creators are going, you know what, like, I'm just going to try to go direct, build my own direct following. Others are kind of, you know, going, I'll pay the YouTube slash tax and kind of take the ad revenue on the back end of it. But there's no doubt that the commercial model for smaller things is different than the commercial model for bigger brands. No doubt.
It is, but it's not to harp on, but it's an interesting one with Liquid Death, how it went into a very saturated market. And now it's like, how big do you want to scale? It's now at 1.5 billion. That's done well. But yeah, there's obviously more cheddar out there. But it's like, how big do you want to be? I suppose from the get-go, you got to answer that question. And then it's like, well, do you want to be? Is there any room to freaking be a platform now? Like, geez.
Maybe. I mean, that's what kind of like some of the stuff in AI is obviously coming. But like Liquid Death is interesting because already they're moving into things that are less health based, right? So like iced tea, that sort of stuff. Sure. That are kind of like they're ultimately going to end up, as everyone in this space does, they're going to end up as a beverage company, right? And so what's their exit? I would think their exit ultimately is to sell, right? That's the only way that they're actually going to get out of this, is to probably sell to Coca-Cola, sell to PepsiCo. Yeah.
What's the Red? Or follow the Red Bull model and start sponsoring F1 cars and all extreme sports.
Yeah.
Maybe rock concerts.
It's true, but Red Bull is a really interesting brand that way, right? Where they're actually their content brand, right?
And exactly,
energy drinks happen to be one of the ways you can consume their brand.
Yeah, and they pioneered that sort of entertainment extreme space of bringing it to market, which now, like, you look at Quadlock and an Australian success story that just is phone appliances, and they do the same model where it's like, and tap into that. There's sort of a plat. I've got a spider on my cam, but tap into that extreme sport. Like, they're a platform to enable you, like, as a product, they're a platform to enable you to live your best life. That's sort of their position as a sports person or as an enthusiast for cycling, any type of exercise. Like, it's funny, they've sort of positioned themselves as a platform to enable you to do that, to be the best you.
Yep, exactly.
Good points, Joey. I know we've got to jump at one. So closing angle for any of those listening out there, It's brutal that people have been laid off and all the rest. They might be thinking of start a brand. You tell them don't, or what are you thinking in terms of that space right now?
No. I just think you can't think about it as a singularity. You have to think about it as a genuine brand. So I think if you're trying to start a product brand, I think you've got to rethink that, to start to think about it through the lens of being a movement brand. So what's this brand actually about, right? Mm. And kind of what's it sells. So can it show up as a like Red Bull's a really good example. Can it show up as a film, and can it show up as a drink that you're going to put in your hand? And if the answer to that is yes, then I think you've got something.
On that note, Joey, well done squeezing that out. It's,
no problem.
There's a bit of gold over at the Contenders. If anyone needs a bit of help, I'd recommend
237 Smith Street. Yeah, ring the bell.
Ring the bell and the gloves will be on. Well done, Joey.
Ding, ding.